Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January the 23rd. And as we do once a month, we open the lines for your suggestions for issues you would like explored on this program and for your questions and feedback, too. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere, in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I want to start with a couple of housekeeping items. First, an apology. During a program a couple of weeks ago on the media coverage of the presidential campaigns, I had a guest on from a conservative media watchdog group. We had a couple of callers right off the bat who told our call screener one thing and then said another once on the air. One didn't want to talk about media coverage of the presidential campaigns. He wanted to talk about our government being involved in the destruction of the Twin Towers on 9/11. I cut him off. That's my job. This is not censorship. It is keeping the talk program on topic. We have talked about 9/11 and the theories that our government was involved or complicit in the attacks, but that's not what we were talking about on that day. What I'm apologizing for is that I told that caller to get a grip. I shouldn't have said that. I was frustrated, and I let it show. I should have just said that is not our topic today and moved on. The second caller wanted to talk about alleged election fraud, theories that the New Hampshire electronic voting machines were rigged to give the election win to Hillary Clinton. Again, that was not the topic of that hour, and I told the caller so, and I received a lot of flack for doing that, too. Some callers and emailers called me nasty names. Someone said I was an old biddy. Please. And another said that I was carrying water for the Republicans. I was not. I was trying to keep the program on topic, and the topic was media coverage of the presidential campaign. I will, though, pledge to be more civil to callers, even the callers who misrepresent themselves to our call screener and try to change the subject of a given program. But these programs are for all listeners, not just a caller or two who want to give a speech about a specific issue that they care most about at that particular time. It is my job to keep the programs focused and to keep the questions and issues that to the guests that the guests are prepared to talk about on a given day. So that's one bit of housekeeping. I have others, and I'll do them as we go along. But since we have callers online, let me take our first caller, Laverne in Monroe. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
You do a good job.
Thank you very much, Laverne.
And I enjoy these open lines. You find out what's on people's minds.
Right. That's I like them, too, and we get a lot of good ideas from them, too, and we follow through on as many as we can.
I have a couple guests, but first I want to say why I believe these guests would be good.
Okay.
You know, the banks are lowering the interest rates, and I don't think that's going to really solve the problems. It's going to cause inflation. If they had left the Glass-Steagall Act, then years ago, this wouldn't have probably got this far. Because the banks aren't supposed to save the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
We have a worldwide crisis, and we have these here... people that, and it should be politicians, looking for an answer. And four Democratic candidates running for president wants to tax the hedge fund dealers. I think that's what should be asked, the question should be asked, and why isn't the media asking why should those hedge fund dealers be taxed? Now, over the years, I've talked about hedge fund dealers and derivatives, probably longer than you'd like to hear about.
Well, you were onto something, Laverne. Give you credit for that. You had this in mind way before anybody else did.
And I've talked to this with Senator Feingold and Tammy Baldwin. For Senator Feingold for 15 years straight, Senator Baldwin for 9 years straight. I'd like to have you get him for guests and find out what's going on, because this world crisis is the economy is bad. It's going to cause a lot of heartache and people dying, actually.
Absolutely, Laverne. We need to do more on the economy, and we can focus in on the issues that you just presented. We do invite Congresswoman Baldwin and Senator Feingold to join us from time to time. And once in a while, we luck out and they're able to. So we'll try. We'll keep on trying. Thanks very much for that suggestion. And we go next to John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, much thanks to Laverne for persistently drawing our attention to one of the key causes of this current meltdown. I mean, there's a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you had a show on with someone from the Hudson Institute evaluating the government's response to this impending crisis, and he was completely right-wing, and he didn't want any kind of government intervention. And I thought it was a poor show. I turned it off after about 10 minutes, and it points out to something that I think is kind of a problem, a perennial problem, and that is on a particular topic, when either you use a right-wing or a left-wing think tank, give them each a half hour so we can get some idea of what's really going on, and we don't have something that is really distorted mm-hmm. by their ideology. The one topic that I think would be kind of interesting is Eric Kandel. He's a Nobel Prize winner, has written a book called In Search of Memory. He's got a fascinating life, but the key thing that I would like to hear him cover, I think what everybody would be interested in, is the latest research on what causes short and long-term memory. As far as this book goes, for the average reader, if you don't have a biology background and you're not really interested in neuroscience, I'd say don't read it. It's too involved. But I think for him covering what he knows, and the guy's an absolute genius, it would make a fabulous program.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate that suggestion and all of your suggestions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. It's my January open line. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January the 23rd. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, it's the State of the State Address. Governor Doyle delivers his annual State of the State Address to the state legislature, and you'll hear his plans for economic development, health care coverage, and more. Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson will join Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg for live coverage, including analysis and reaction from state legislators. And then tomorrow morning, between 6 and 9, we will have a whole bunch of guests with us, a variety of guests, lawmakers, party chairs, analysts, and others, including, I believe, the governor's commerce secretary, to talk about what the governor proposes for the state of Wisconsin for 2008, and we'll examine whether the legislature will accomplish any of his proposals. That's State of the State coverage. The address tonight at 7, and tomorrow morning, different guests from 6 until 9 to react and analyze. That's coming up here on the Ideas Network, and I hope you will join us for those programs. Right now, it's my January open line, looking for your suggestions for programs you would like to hear on this program. We do have a pledge drive coming up, by the way, in February from the 7th through the 16th. Any special requests? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Milton in West Allis is with us. Good morning.
Hello, I have a suggestion and a comment.
Okay.
My suggestion is to have somebody from the Federation of American Scientists on the Minot-Barksdale nuclear weapons incident. Even if we believe the big fib that it was just a mistake, I think that discussing the safety of our nuclear weapons stockpiles is well worth discussing.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow named Chuck Simpson, who you can find on the internet, might also be a good guest. Okay, my comment is that I think that the great strength of Wisconsin Public Radio talk programming is the relationship between the callers and the host and the guests. There's currently a plan to introduce directors into your mix along with producers and screeners so that things like music bumpers, music themes, sound bites, and all kind of, and featurettes can be added, which is just actually going to reduce the useful content and reduce the number of callers. I disagree with the previous fellow who says he wants more guests in an hour. I feel because the callers are the real strength of Wisconsin Public Radio talk programming, that when we have more guests in an hour and more points of view from them, it de-emphasizes the callers and we have less caller input.
Okay, thank you very much, Milton. We do have a plan to add a producer slash director to this 3-hour morning drive program. The purpose of this position isn't necessarily just to add a lot of audio elements, though that will be a part of his or her job, some audio elements. We do that right now on some programs when appropriate. If there will, for instance, tomorrow morning, when we analyze the State of the State address, we will have some clips of Governor Doyle stating his proposals. And right now, we really don't have anybody on our skeleton staff that can do that when appropriate. So it's not like it's just to be wasted filler stuff. It's sound bites of newsmakers or from presidential debates or presidential speeches or something like that, so you can hear from the horse's mouth and then have our guest react to it and or talk about it along with you, the callers. So I'm sorry you oppose the sometimes inclusion of clips. And as for the music, yeah, we might put a little bit of that in the shows, but it would be a matter of seconds, not minutes or hours. So we'll certainly take your comments under advisement. Appreciate that, and your suggestion, too. Your call also reminded me that there is something that I would like to correct or clarify that I said on a program about a week ago. I was talking with New York Times columnist and author David K. Johnston, who wrote a book called Free Lunch. Some of you may remember that program. It was about how the wealthy get subsidies through various government policies and programs and how all of us, the taxpayers, pick up the tab. One example out of many in his book had to do with taxpayer subsidies of sports stadiums. And he wrote a chapter on the great deal that President Bush got when he was owner of the Texas Rangers. A couple of callers during that program brought up that we had a similar situation or situations here in Wisconsin with the Brewer Stadium in Milwaukee and Lambeau Field renovations in Green Bay. And in explaining this to our guest, who did not write about these stadiums in his book, I made the statement that I wasn't sure if the sales tax increase was still being collected in southeastern Wisconsin or Brown County. A couple of you did call in to say, yes, indeed, the sales tax hike was still being collected. But my producer, who was Leo Duran, did not pass those comments on to me. He thought that we had moved on to other examples, and he correctly assumed that we were not focusing the entire hour on the Wisconsin sports stadiums, but on the broader concept and other examples that our guest did write about. So he never passed along the clarification that the sales tax increase was still being collected, and therefore I did not clarify or correct myself on the air during that program. This is also another example of what this new producer-director will be able to accomplish for Wisconsin Public Radio and for all listeners. The producer-director will be listening intently to the program instead of answering every call that comes in. It's hard to listen to the program when you are answering the calls from listeners because you're talking to the listener and not listening to the program. So this second person in our booth can listen to the program intently and help direct which call would be the next best call to put on. Maybe if something was said that the producer, the on-air producer didn't hear, the call screener didn't hear, this person would be able to pass along comments like that to me through the computer. So I think the added resource will be a benefit to all listeners. We'll have a better program because of it. And I do want to say that I didn't purposefully not correct or clarify my misstatement. It was just one of those things. The producer did not pass along the correction, and I didn't state it, and I'm stating it now. So thank you very much. Victor in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Joyce. I have nothing but love and good compliments for you. I really appreciate how you've handled being, you know, a host. And people who make these little, you know, outrageous comments, they need, some of them need to grow up, because you got rules on a radio station that everybody has to apply. I like to call in more during the week, but I have to abide by the once a call in week thing.
And open lines are free, too. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, I take full advantage of that, as you know. The other compliment I have is I really appreciate your coverage of sports. You know, I'm a sports fanatic, and that last Packer fan thing you did was great. I was not a Packer fan by no means, but thank you for that.
Hey, you didn't call in during that hour. Did you not call in because you had called in earlier in the week?
That's why.
Okay, well, thank you,
Victor. But the two programs I like to see are, one, discussing human trafficking, because we don't think it occurs in the United States, but I bet my bottom dollar it does, because I'm concerned about people disappearing. And the other one I like discussion about is civil defense. Say, like, if another catastrophe happens, a terrorist or somebody going nuts, are we ready for it, for a biological, chemical, radiological attack?
All right. Thank you very much, Victor. Appreciate both of those. Got them down, and we will put that in the mix, too. Let's see. Eugene in Viola is next. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning.
Morning.
You do a good job. Very
thank
good.
You,
comment. A lot of these small villages, and this one included, depend for some of the villages depend for a good share of the money they get from revenue sharing. Now, with a drop in the money that has been coming into state coffers, I am wondering how that's going to affect revenue sharing for a lot of these small villages throughout the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
If that's going to be affected. Because if they didn't, this one included, didn't have that revenue sharing, we just wouldn't be able to operate.
All right, Eugene. Maybe that could come up in our State of the State coverage tomorrow. We'll try Steve in Oxford next. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. Like other callers, I appreciate your show, but boy, it sure is early in the morning.
Well, it goes on until 9 o'clock.
The show I would like to see or like to hear would be a repeat of a show that you guys did last time concerning some legislation that's in front of the Wisconsin State Legislature even as we speak, and that deals with placement of children after divorce or separation.
Yeah, we have done that. So they have equal time with both parents?
Right, exactly. AB 571 is scheduled for a hearing in the Assembly, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, and that will create a presumption that equal placement after divorce is in the best interest of the children. And to rebut that presumption will require clear and convincing evidence that it is not in the best interest of the children, and it also makes a change in the way that to modify custody after 2 years. Currently, the law says that there has to be a substantial change of circumstances, but changes in financial circumstances or geographic circumstances are not sufficient.
Yeah.
Under
all right.
This bill.
I have to jump in, Steve. I've got the bills and the fact that there's a hearing on it tomorrow. And leave it at that, because right now we have a newscast from National Public Radio. More open line after the news. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Wednesday, January the 23rd. And a reminder that you can hear the State of the State Address. Governor Doyle delivers his State of the State Address to the legislature at 7 o'clock this evening. We will carry that live on the Ideas Network. And tomorrow morning between 6 and 9, I'll talk with a variety of guests about those various proposals you heard about, economic development and renewable energy and the other initiatives that the governor is expected to unveil tonight. And we'll wonder whether the legislature will accomplish any of his proposals between 6 and 9 tomorrow morning. The State of the State, 7 o'clock tonight. Right now, hosting my January open line looking for your suggestions for guests and topics and issues that you would like to hear on this program. Also answering any questions you have about the program and any feedback that you have as well. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Chris in Appleton is next. Hi, Chris, you're on the air.
Hi there, thank you. You know, I think it'd be really interesting with the number of National Guard and soldiers we've had in Iraq to have a panel of four soldiers, one from each year of the war, answering questions or describing the changes they saw in the Iraq economy while he or she was there.
In the economy in Iraq?
The economy, just in how they saw the build-up or the actual war itself at the start, or, you know, the changes that have gone over the years.
Okay, all right, I get it. When you said the changes in the economy, I didn't quite get that. But just, yeah, it's interesting. We have only three chairs in our studio, though, so I'll have to have some by phone. Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. That's an interesting idea. We appreciate it. Kurt in Springbrook, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to suggest that you have on Daniel Quinn, either for your pledge drive or just regularly. He's best known for his novel Ishmael that was published in 1992, and it won, I think, the biggest cash prize for a fiction work. But anyway, he just published a new book titled If They Give You Lined Paper, Write Sideways, and that's about how he comes to the conclusions he does in his thought process.
That sounds like a nonfiction book?
Yeah, it's nonfiction.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about a fiction, on the air. And you're not the first person to suggest Daniel Quinn either. Why do you think he'd be such a great guest?
Well, he questions the mythology of our culture, the received wisdom, and he exposes blind spots in our thinking that we usually don't talk about. For example, he brings up the biological law of limited competition, which is that we're a biological species, just like anything else in the biological community, and we have to follow certain rules. And that's the law is in a biological community that you can hunt and compete with other species to the fullest of your capabilities, but you cannot hunt down or destroy your competitors within the biological community. And, you know, take the wolf issue, for instance. You know, the biggest argument is, well, wolves kill our livestock, so we have to kill wolves. And, well, that's breaking the law of limited competition. And another thing, too, he brings up is the global population issue. You know, we keep producing more food every year worldwide, and we're growing our population. And until we get a handle on our food production, we're not going to get a handle on our population.
Thank you very much, Kurt. It is not the first time we've heard Daniel Quinn's name, but it's the first time I heard that he has a new book out. And we can make note of that. And usually we look for people who have new thoughts and don't call back people who wrote a book more than 10 years ago. But if he's got a new book out, certainly. Thank you very much. Teresa or Therese in East Troy, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I've been listening to you for the last 25 years since I moved to Wisconsin, and I've learned so much from this program. I know that maybe not that many young people listen to it, but from the biographies of people who have shared, you know, what either an author or, you know, someone in the arts or a chef or something, where they, through your, you know, talking to them and their biographies, has inspired me over the years. And I would like to see something focusing more toward teaching or nursing, because that area of our community, I think, especially for our children, needs a little more development. So I would just like to see some programs in that respect.
Okay. All right. Programs specifically on the teaching profession or the nursing profession?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, perhaps some biographies of some teachers who have had some wonderful, you know, experiences and nurses who have had some, you know, very fulfilling and very, you know, even spiritual, results as a part of their profession, and that may draw these young people to these professions, whereas it's not all about money, you know.
Thank you very much, Therese. Appreciate those ideas. I think those could be some powerful programs. Gene in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Joy.
Yeah.
Financial deregulation, since it certainly got the world's attention, in the late 1990s, the Clinton administration got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act. There was much comment at the time when this was gotten rid of that this was a bad idea. It deregulated the banks. It allowed investment banks and commercial banks all to basically put the trust back together like they had in the 1920s. And perhaps you could get some financial historian or some economist on explaining the effects of this deregulation, because we're now facing a severe crisis caused by the deregulation. And since most people probably have never heard of Glass-Steagall, they really ought to understand or figure out why in the 1930s we put in place all these regulations, because they had consequences.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article recently in Common Dreams, and I can't remember the name of the author, who gives a pretty extensive commentary on how deregulation of the financial industry has caused serious harm to the world, because, trust us, we won't do it again. Well, mm-hmm. It's just been done again. And again, thank you for the very entertaining shows you always have.
Thank you very much, Gene. That's a great suggestion, too, given the times we are in. So we will look into doing something on deregulation. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number, if you would like to make a suggestion for a topic, a guest, an issue that you would like to hear on this program, or in Madison, 263-1890. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. A program note that coming up next week on Monday, it's President Bush's State of the Union Address on Monday night. I think it's at 8 o'clock on Monday night. We will carry the President's State of the Union Address live on the Ideas Network, and then on the following morning, on that following Tuesday morning, another 3-hour marathon with guests from different political perspectives, and with you, I hope, reacting to what the President has to say in his State of the Union Address, and maybe your thoughts on what the state of this union is. That's coming up Monday on the Ideas Network, and our coverage follows up the State of the Union on Tuesday. Right now, it's my January open line. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Wednesday, January the 23rd. Coming up after 7 o'clock this morning, some say it's death with dignity, others disagree. After 7, I'll talk with a state lawmaker who has proposed a bill that would legalize physician-assisted suicide in Wisconsin under certain circumstances. Democratic State Representative from Superior Frank Boyle will join us after 7 o'clock, and then after 7:30, a different guest, a different perspective, someone who opposes this legislation and will be testifying at a public hearing today against the Death with Dignity bill. You'll get your chance to testify and ask questions about this bill coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, looking for your suggestions of other issues you would like to hear discussed on this program, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Got a lot of reaction from a program that I did on Monday with a surgeon who wrote a book on her reflections of end-of-life issues and dealing with patients who are dying and the families of patients who are dying. She wrote a book called Final Exam, and a lot of feedback from you that you really appreciated that topic and that guest and wanted more like that, a number of suggestions talking about hospice care or other end-of-life issues, and we'll certainly take that into account. It's, I guess, somewhat related talking about this Death with Dignity bill in our state legislature coming up after 7 o'clock. Sean in Chippewa Falls, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I got an idea of going off and getting something about the problem with the trucking industry in the U.S. That's the hours of service rule that they're wanting to change all the time on us drivers.
I'm sorry, what is that service rule?
Hours of service.
Oh, okay, so you have to have so much sleep between runs or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're wanting to go off and, you know, regulate our hours that we get out here. But with the hours that a driver puts in from the time he leaves his home to the time he gets back home, especially the over-the-road drivers, they need to look at the pay issue, too, and they're not. If you figure up the time that he is out on the road to the time he gets back, we're working for way under minimum wage on there. And
mm-hmm.
the government is not looking at the big picture. And, you know, we're almost 250,000 drivers short out here on the highway.
Right, yeah.
If they go off and look at the, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with them changing the hours of service. They could change it every day of the week, provided that, you know, there was a change in pay as well.
Yeah. Sean, are you from Wisconsin or just driving through?
I worked out of Chippewa Falls. My company's out of Chippewa Falls, but I live in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, I see. Well, welcome to Wisconsin. Glad you're a Wisconsin Public Radio listener. A lot of truckers listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and call in. We appreciate that suggestion. Maddie in Wapaka. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. There's been a number of news reports about a study in California that they say indicated that when they took the thimerosal and mercury out of the shots for the children, that the rate of autism still continued or, you know, is expanding. But they didn't clarify whether or not those children received flu shots, which contained thimerosal or mercury. And I would like to have a show where they would clarify that situation. I have a 6-year-old grandson that had his IQ plummet after he had a flu shot with thimerosal.
Yeah.
I would like to know whether or not the California study took that into consideration.
Thank you very much, Maddie. Let's see what we can do. I don't know if we can do a whole hour on that one aspect, though, as you know, and I know you've called in before, we've done programs on the autism and vaccine connection, and we did something on the flu shot just before flu season. And Karen Prager did look up from Science News, removing thimerosal from vaccines did not reduce autism cases in California, according to this report. Karen, if you can hear me, maybe you can see if that article makes it clear whether those children had a flu shot. That's the clarification. Maybe we can clarify that for you right now, Maddie. Bob in Madison. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Good morning. A simple one, but complex in a way. Carpooling from areas out of town. We do some vanpooling, but for example, I was down to Brooklyn, and this back road is just packed with cars coming into town to work.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few areas are like that. I would like to, I know it's not possible for everyone, but you could save $1,000 a year coming that distance. And we worry about getting better mileage. Well, if we would get together a little bit, it would help a bundle.
Yeah, and so you want a program just with somebody who's a big advocate of carpooling or something?
Ideas from people calling in, because I think that's what you get. You get the real, I'm sure many people are thinking about it.
Yeah.
And yes, there could be somebody with a state, but
yeah.
There needs to be just the ideas on how to make it quite safe and this and that, you know, as you're not jumping in with just anybody.
Okay, well, I would give that some thought as to whether, you know, there's somebody, a guest that can be on the air, if just open up the lines and ask people if they carpool. I don't know how many different ideas there would be as to whether you just get together with coworkers and decide to drive in together rather than drive in separately. But Bob, appreciate it. It's an important, certainly an important topic. June and Shawno, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a suggestion that came out of Russ Feingold's Martin Luther Day speech. He suggested something that has always bothered me, that it is time for the people in the District of Columbia to be given representation in the House and Senate.
How come that bothers you?
Well, I live there, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these people deserve the right. There are states that are smaller than the population of the District of Columbia who have that right. Additionally, we worry about votes counting. We worry about people, certain groups being representative. But we never seem to worry about these people.
Mm-hmm. And you say Senator Feingold stated that it's time for the District of Columbia to have its own representatives in Washington?
He did indeed.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right. Thanks very much. Interesting idea. Why not? Willie in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, some folks are, including Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, are putting together a mini-series for HBO largely based on Howard Zinn's History of America.
Mm-hmm.
It's, of course, not politically correct nowadays, but how about having Howard Zinn on for an hour just for a general talk about the way he sees American history?
Yeah, I
don't think he's been on public radio. He or Noam Chomsky have not been on for a very long
time. It's been a while.
And they're, you know, internationally, they're some of the most well-known American historians, but, you know, many people in their own country don't even know about them because of the extreme right-wing bias of most of the media, not including public radio. So you guys need to protect us from the corporate media monster.
Willie, I appreciate that suggestion. We'll take a look, see when the last time we had Howard Zinn and or Noam Chomsky. As you probably know, Noam Chomsky limits his media appearances because he's asked, well, used to be asked so often. I don't know if he still is, but he would give us one per year, and if a different Wisconsin Public Radio program got him, it was just one per year, not one per every program. And Howard Zinn, I think I do recall having him on within the last year, but it's been many, many months. So thank you very much. Tom in Rhinelander, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
A number of years back, there was a guest on from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, speaking about casino gaming around the Midwest, the pervasiveness of the gaming at this time. I recently saw a map of the Midwest and saw that states such as Oklahoma have well over 30 casinos in them. There's been a push in Wisconsin to get more casinos.
Mm-hmm.
I would also be interested to hear what's going on with the Ho-Chunk Nation, their litigation with the state, and just to get a sense of the market, the casino market at this time.
Yeah, you just want an overview, or you're concerned about the problems associated with casino gambling? Or
yeah, there's a lot of different ways mm-hmm. that the program could go. I'm wondering if they're making any money, and if they are, what kind of impact are they really having on local economies?
Okay, all right, good. Certainly something that could be done. I do recall that University of Nevada professor, I think he did some studies for the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute based in the Milwaukee area on gambling and issues involving gambling. So he certainly is a possibility, or maybe we can talk with one of the Indian nations here in Wisconsin about their gaming operations. Let's see, we have time for, I think, one more. Tom and Mequon, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I'm hoping that you'll have on as a guest, I don't know what his name is, but he's a senator, I believe, a Republican from upstate Wisconsin who wants to put in a law that would stop Wisconsin communities from being able to write laws to stop sexual predators from living in their area. And I just heard a little bit about that last week, but I didn't hear a full show about that. I'm wondering if you could Yeah, have that person on.
We'll look into it, but I didn't understand that, Tom. A state lawmaker is trying to pass a law to prevent local communities from having anything to say about sexual predator placement. Is that what you said?
Yes, because I guess the idea is that then those people are pushed out into the more rural areas, and this guy's from a rural area.
Okay. All right. We'll look into that. Thank you very much for that suggestion. Thanks for all of your suggestions. We will follow up on as many as we can. You don't have to wait for an open line to make a suggestion. Go to our website, WPR.org. You'll see lots of opportunities there to email us a suggestion, WPR.org. Happy to have you email me directly. My last name is spelled C-A-R-D-I-N at WPR.org. Cardine at WPR.org. You can mail us something, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, or you can call listener services at 1-800-747-7444. So lots of ways to talk with Wisconsin Public Radio and give us your suggestions and your feedback. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.